Welcome to sermon audio from Grace Hill Church in Pittsboro, North Carolina. I'm Lee Callicutt, pastor for preaching and teaching at Grace Hill. Grace Hill Church exists to glorify God by being a community on mission transformed by the gospel. For more information about Grace Hill, visit us at gracehillchatham.com. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. Genesis 5, verses 21 through 24 records for us Enoch's life. Genesis 5, verse 21 starts, when Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And then Jude 14 through 15 speaks of part of the ministry and life of Enoch. It was also about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way and of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him." We all know what it is to walk with someone. A long walk with your spouse, perhaps on a trail or hiking or on the beach. A long walk with your child, a great friend. It may be one of the greatest simple pleasures we have in this life. To walk with a friend. To walk with our best friends like our spouse. To walk with our children. One of the simple and great pleasures of life. But to go on a walk presupposes you have some sort of relationship and friendship with the one that you are walking with. We go on walks with, generally, we go on walks with people we know. I don't just walk beside a stranger and say, "Hey, let's go for a walk." I guess you could, but they would probably think you're a little bit weird and strange. You go on walks with people you have a relationship with. There's some sort of fellowship and agreement for anyone to walk together. See, now the picture that we have of Enoch's life is that he walked with God. And the Bible, throughout the course of the Bible, speaks about walking with God as someone's course of life. That is when you see walking with God or walking in the ways of the Lord. It's speaking of how someone's life was and is. It's their course of life, the trajectory of life. And when the Bible says they walked with God or walked in the ways of God or in the ways of His Word, in the ways of His precepts, they're teaching us, the Bible is teaching us, that in order to walk with God presupposes some relationship with God. A communion with God, a fellowship with God, and dare I say, a companionship with God, following His ways, walking in His ways, having the course of my life walking with God. We see Enoch by faith walked with God. By faith, we too will walk with God, and our faith will influence our fellowship with God. The Bible gives us a picture of what our life, what your life, what my life is really supposed to look like. As you boil it all down and get to the very nuts and bolts of our life and what we are to do and who we are to be and what is the course of my life and how it is supposed to go, you and I are to walk with God, to have communion with God, to fellowship with God. That is what our life is to be. We are to be a people. You are to be a person that walks with God. And we are told Enoch walked with God. He lived in communion with God. Enoch walking with God means Enoch knew God. He had a relationship with God. I feel like we can use that language. A communion with God. He was a friend of God. You see in Genesis 5. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. And then Enoch in verse 22. Enoch walked with God. All his days, 365 years. In verse 24 of Genesis 5, Enoch walked with God. It is an emphasis about Enoch's life in Genesis 5 that he was one that walked with God, had communion and fellowship with God. And because of such, he was taken up by God, for God took him. See, who is this man that walked with God? There's a lot of mystery around who Enoch is, who Enoch was, especially because you see, he did not taste death. He did not experience death. So who is this Enoch? Well, there's at least four different men that go by the name of Enoch in the Bible. The very name Enoch means dedicated. But there's only one Enoch that we have significant information about, and it's this Enoch that walked with God by faith, that was pleasing to God. Now, there is another Enoch that is worth mentioning, and it's an Enoch that's found in Genesis 4, and he's a descendant of Cain. He's actually Cain's, the one who murdered his brother. He is Cain's oldest son. So there's another Enoch there that is mentioned. But the Enoch that is being referenced in Genesis 5 and Hebrews 11 and Jude 14 and 15 is not the eldest son of Cain, Enoch. It is the great, 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 great grandson of Adam. See, the Enoch that was the oldest son of Cain, he's a descendant of the serpent. He's a seed of the serpent. He's born of that evil line. But you have Enoch here who is born of Adam. Jude tells us he is the seventh from Adam. And this is the one that walked faithfully with God. He was dedicated, as his namesake says, to God. Whereas Enoch, the eldest son of Cain, was dedicated to the devil and the serpent. This God, this Enoch, was dedicated to God. So we see that Enoch walked with God. He was dedicated to God. He faithfully walked with God. We also learn that Enoch was a preacher. He was a prophet. It's what Jude 14 and 15 tells us. He says that he preached about ungodliness. He called the ungodly to repent of their ungodly deeds and their ungodly ways. Enoch preached. Enoch walked with God. And then you have Hebrews 11:5 that gives us more details about Enoch. It says that verse 5 of Hebrews 11, by faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. And then he was, before he was taken, commended as having pleased God. I mean, what a testimony we have of Enoch. He walked with God. He pleased God. And he was taken away by God. Now, Enoch is only one of two people we find in the Bible who was taken up in this way that did not experience death. It was Enoch and the prophet Elijah. But it seems that Enoch had this great privilege of being taken away because he faithfully walked with God and pleased God. Now, as I said, there's much mystery, there's much speculation about Enoch and the way he was taken away. But that is not what I want our focus to be. As Calvin said, we must not speculate about his life. We don't need to have conjecture about how God or why God did it. We need to simply understand why Enoch is held out to us, especially in Hebrews 11. He's held out as a life of faith, as an example of faith, someone that walked with God. And because he walked with God and pleased God, we must look to Enoch as an example that we can emulate, where we too should walk with God. And in walking with God, our lives will be pleasing to God. See, Enoch lived by faith. That is the only way that you can walk with God, is by faith. And because he did such, he lived a life pleasing to God. So now the question is, because we know, we see who Enoch is, we see that he walked with God. What is it to walk with God? What does it mean to walk with God? Because the author of Hebrews is holding out Enoch as an example for us to continue in the faith and to persevere, to keep walking with God. So what does it mean to walk with God? Well, there are two other places in the scripture where it says that you walk with God. There's plenty of places that talks about walking before God and before his faith, but there's only before his face, but there's only a couple of other references that talk about walking with God, in communion with God, in agreement with God. And they will tell us exactly what it means for you and I to walk with God. The first place the scripture talks about walking with God is from Malachi chapter 2, verse 6. And this is what Malachi 2, 6 says, speaking of faithful messengers. It says, true instruction was in his mouth, and nothing false was found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and turned many from sin. So the faithful messenger in Malachi 2 walked with God. And how did he walk with God? With peace and righteousness and turning people away from sin. That is walking with God. Righteousness, holiness, godliness is walking with God. The second place we find the scripture talking about walking with God was our call to worship this morning out of Micah 6, verses 6 and 8. But we'll just look at verse 8 for a second. It says, he has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. All of a sudden, we're starting to see that walking with God is a life of doing good. Walking with God is a life of righteousness, uprightness, peace, justice, love, kindness, humility. That is what it means to walk humbly with your God. Walking with God in communion, what we're learning from the other places in Scripture about Enoch walking with God and what it means to walk with God is your walking with God will ultimately demonstrate itself in a godly life, in righteousness, in holiness, in justice, in kindness, in truth, in humility. Walking with God means you will live that sort of life. So walking with God is actual fellowship. It's walking in agreement with God and his ways. It's having, yes, an intimate fellowship and communion with God that displays itself. The communion we have with God displays itself in obedience to the God we have fellowship with. You cannot have fellowship and walk with God if you do not have obedience. By not having obedience shows that you're not actually walking with God. See, walking with God is not some sort of New Age mysticism. Walking with God is being reconciled to him through Christ, knowing him in the new covenant, and having a fellowship communion with him through his Holy Spirit and through his word to live a life of righteousness, to live a life that trusts him, to live a life that is dependent upon him, to live a life of obedience to this God you have fellowship with. See, by faith, Enoch walked with God. And what did his faith that walked with God do? It pleased God. God was pleased with this sort of life. See, it is by faith which makes the unseen real. And God was real to Enoch. God had a real relationship with Enoch. Walking with God is living in this conscious commitment and communion with Christ. It's living coram Deo before the face of God, with God. A fellowship and communion with God that does manifest itself in a godly life. Do we not see that in the life of Enoch? What did he do in Jude 14 and 15? He prophesied, he preached, he called people to repentance. He says that he's telling people that the ungodly deeds of their life and the ungodly way they have committed themselves to, God is against that. See, Enoch, as a preacher, as a prophet, his relationship and communion and fellowship with God actually caused him to speak out against ungodliness and unrighteousness. The ungodliness in the society and culture in which he lived in. He said, look, you people are committed to ungodly ways and ungodly deeds. He said, turn from that ungodliness. He confronted, and I'm not saying the church is to be culture warriors, but Enoch, who lived the life by faith that walked with God, he confronted the ungodliness in his life, in his society and in the culture. He said, turn from your ungodly deeds and ungodly ways. Enoch didn't just keep quiet. He confronted the evil in his day. That was walking with God. That is speaking. That's living by faith. If we're going to live by faith and walk with God, are we not too going to speak out against the atrocities we see in society and in our culture? Will not someone walking with God speak out against the babies being murdered every day in this country? Will someone not walking with God speak out about the perverted sexuality in our society and in our culture? Will someone walking with God, will they just keep quiet? One pastor said that even a dog barks when his master's attacked. Why are we going to keep quiet? See, someone that walks with God and has friendship with God will confront the ungodliness in their day. That is what living by faith does. That is what walking with God does. Enoch was not just some monk who secluded himself in a private prayer closet and called that walking with God. He didn't just go to the corner and keep his mouth shut. That's not what walking with God looks like. Walking with God will present itself in justice, godliness, obedience, truth, and righteousness. It's faithful obedience to God. Walking with God, it will be visible for others to see. If it wasn't visible for others to see, how'd they even know Enoch was walking with God? It's faithful obedience to God. Walking with God is living in righteousness and truth, not only in the atrocities we see out in our culture and society, but walking with God is also living in righteousness and truth in the daily duties of our life. You walk with God in the coffee shop. You walk with God in your office. You walk with God in your kitchen. You stay near to God and walk with Him at all times. That's what it means to walk with God. See, Hebrews 11:5 says it was by faith He was taken up. We learned that it was by faith He walked with God and that He pleased God. So put that together. By faith, He was commended by God as pleasing to God. And why was He commended as pleasing to God? Because He walked with God. He pleased God and walked with God. Those two must exist together. You cannot walk with God and not please Him. And you cannot not walk with God and think you are pleasing Him. They're together. If you please Him, you walk with Him. And if you walk with Him, you please Him. To walk with God is to walk in agreement with God. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together unless they agree? They can't. You can't walk together unless you agree. If I go walking with my wife and she goes one direction, I don't agree with the direction she's walking, and I walk the other direction, are we walking together? No, we're not walking together. We have to be in agreement to walk together. And to walk with God, you have to be in agreement with him. Agreement with his word, his precepts, his law. Yes, and being ever aware of his presence, living before his face, knowing that moment by moment and step by step in your day is living before this God. So walking together means you agree with God. Walking with God means it's obedience. It's walking in a direction. It's walking in his path. You cannot walk in a different direction than God is telling you to walk and think you're walking with him. Enoch walking with God means he had a like-mindedness with God. Enoch walking with God means that he loved what God loved. He hated what God hated. And he did what God said, do. Walking with God is walking in the ways of God. It's walking in godliness and God-likeness. It is impossible to walk with God unless you realize it's your duty to also please the God in which you walk with. The man or woman who walks with God, always in their motive, their desire, their plans, their pursuits, their decisions, they'll ask the question, will this please God? If it will not please God, you do not walk that way. And sadly, many of us do not walk with God because we have such little concern on what pleases God. I mean, would you really have me think, would you really have yourself think that anyone can walk with God and live in known sin? You can't. You aren't walking together to consider God, to consider his ways, to consider his word, to consider his direction is to walk with him. I cannot tell you, unfortunately, how many people, even in my short decade of pastoral ministry, and I hope for many more, but I hope for not for this, but I cannot tell you how many people have looked me square in the eyes who are living in adultery. And I ask them, do you think that pleases God? And they'll say, I prayed about it. I think it does. I'm fine. Me and God are fine. No, you're not. Because you're not pleasing. You're not walking in a way that would ever please God. You can't think you're walking with God, living in open and rebellious sin. That's a lie. And every day you go living that lie, thinking you and God are okay, and living day after day, step after step in your sin, you walk farther and farther away from the God that you are supposed to walk with. And what you'll do is you'll simply walk yourself into hell. I mean, it astonishes me that people think that they can live in disagreement to what God has said and still be okay with the God who said it. To walk with God is to walk in God's ways. And let me be very frank. If you are walking with God, you aren't walking with God when you lie. You aren't walking with God when you gossip. You aren't walking with God when you look at pornography. You aren't looking at God when you worry. You're not walking with God. To walk with God is to walk in his ways, to obey his commandments, to know his word, to be holy and obedient to him, to walk with God pursuing his path and his direction. If this would just get into our hearts that every step of my life and your life, step by step, is to be walked with God. That's what Enoch did. And it pleased him. It pleased God. Verse 5 says, also now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. But he was taken. Look at what Enoch's life was. Enoch walked with God step by step. He walked with God. And God just took him. His ministry fulfilled. And God took him. He was rewarded for his holiness and devotion. What a life and testimony of being pleasing to God. And his closeness to God, it would appear from the scripture, exempted him from death. He was so close with God that God just took him. Now, Enoch is this prototype for all believers who will die in Christ. That even though we die, we shall live. Christ has tasted death for us. And so now in Christ, we do walk with God. We commune with God. We walk with him eternally. And so just like Enoch, now we will experience death. But even though we die, yet shall we live. And now like Enoch, our call is to live by faith, walking with God, so our life can be pleasing to God. And when we walk with God and our ministry on this earth is done, guess what God does? He takes us home. When you have finished your ministry, look, you, in a real sense, you are invincible until God gets done with what he wants to do in your life. And then when you're done, God will take you. And God will take you through death. But in Christ, walking with God, even though you die, yet shall you live. And then you will walk with God eternally forever. There is heaven and eternity for those that walk with God. May we walk with God, trust this God wherever he leads. That is my chief concern, is to walk with God. And if we walk with God, he will lead us home. So what is the application from Enoch's life? What is it that we are to press upon our hearts today? We talk a lot, even today, we've talked a lot about God. And perhaps you could tell me lots about God. But that is not the question that should be impressed on our hearts when we look at the faith of Enoch. It is not, can you tell me about God? The question that the Bible presses in on us when we look at Enoch is not, can you tell me about God? Is, are you walking with God? Are you walking with God? How many of us are actually walking with God? It's been said that the missing note of religious life today is that of personal fellowship with God. I mean, never have there been so many options for us. Events and groups to participate in. Meetings, groups, events, service, other ministries outside the church. But does any of it matter if you're not walking with God? Does it matter if I preach if I'm not walking with God? All of it, everything you do, pales in importance to your communion and fellowship with God. Do you have personal communion with God? Now see, here's what happens, is we busy ourselves, we hurry ourselves. We'll even do that in the name of Jesus Christ, and we'll serve him and work ourselves to the very bones trying to serve him, and yet we do not walk with him. I think that's the greatest danger in pastoral ministry, if I can just be candid. I think what I'm talking about right now is the greatest danger in my life. Is to prepare sermons, preach sermons, visit, minister, serve, organize, administrate, be busy running to and from, and then not walk with God. How tragic would it be to be busy for God and not walk with God? To not know him, to not enjoy him, to not commune with him. So just be honest with yourself today. Are you walking with God? And whatever is getting in the way of you walking with God, whether it's a busy schedule or ball games or hobbies or whatever it might be that you're filling up your calendar with that pushes out your walk with God, you need to push that out and start walking with God. If you're not walking with God today, it means you're walking on another path. You're walking the course of this world. You're walking with the devil in this world. There's no middle ground. There's no neutrality. You're either walking with God or you're walking with the devil. You're walking in the world, but you're walking with someone. Do we walk with God? Do you walk with God? Or do you walk away from Him? Because every step you take is either in the right or wrong direction. Which one is it? Now, communion with God presupposes union with God. By nature, we cannot have fellowship and communion with God. By nature, we are born strangers and enemies to God. But the good news of the gospel is that God, this God that we are separated from because of our sin, that we're alienated and hostile to in our hearts and minds when we are born, that God who we can walk with and know, for us to walk with and know, He sends His Son, and His Son comes and lives in our place, the righteous life, walking with the Father on this life. And then He goes and He dies a death on the cross, paying for our sins. And then He raises again, knowing that everyone who trusts in Jesus Christ, His work in person, the very barrier, what keeps us from walking with God, what keeps us from knowing God and enjoying God, it's our sin. What does Christ take care of through His life, death, and resurrection? He takes care of our sin. He takes care of the very barrier that would keep us from communing with God. And so to have communion with God, you must first have union with Christ. And by having your sins forgiven, the barrier that exists that keeps you from knowing God, loving God, and enjoying Him has been torn down by Jesus Christ. And because Jesus Christ has paid for every sin of mine, I can now be in communion with this God who I once hated, but He's given me a new heart. He's given me a life of faith to now love Him and walk in His ways. In Christ, you are a son or a daughter, and He is your Father. But the unconverted sinner cannot walk with God because they're still opposed to God. They go in the opposite direction. But isn't communion with God a privilege, perhaps the privilege and blessing of the new covenant back in Hebrews 8? Because Jesus died and rose again, He's done away with the barrier. Every sin has been paid for. Every sin that would keep us from communion with God has been washed away by the blood of Jesus. God remembers our sin no more. So to commune with God, even in your sin, is to say, God, You've taken care of my sin. You've paid for my sin. The blood of Your Son has washed away my sin. And in the new covenant, we enter into it by faith, through His blood. And what does Hebrews 8:11 say about those that enter the new covenant whose sins have been forgiven by Jesus Christ? They all shall know Me. They all shall know Me. Thou shalt commune with Me, fellowship with Me, walk with Me. So walking with God is knowing God. And how do you know God? You only know God through Jesus Christ paying and purchasing you. Walking with God is an outflow of the gospel that Christ has paid for me. And I am God's and He is mine. And I can commune with Him. That is the great privilege of the believer. Is we through Christ have been reconciled and restored to God. To God. Think about that. To God I may know. To God I may fellowship with. With God I may walk with. And the sin that would keep me from walking with Him has been paid for by His Son. Christ is the sinner's way to know God. And anyone who says they have communion and knowledge of God outside of Christ and faith with Him, they do not know God. Only through Christ. Has the wall been torn down? And because of his sinless sacrifice, we can now know God in an intimate, real, we can have a real knowledge of God, for they shall know me. Walking with God in private devotion, opening his word, praying to this God, obeying this God, to open our hearts and lives and minds to this God, to be conscious of his care and his protection and his provision. That is walking with God. And so we look at a guy like Enoch, and he pleased God by walking with him. And walking with God is a privilege that you and I are all invited to through Jesus Christ. Walking with God is not out of your grasp this morning. No matter how vile, no matter how wicked your sin has been or is, because Christ's death is utterly sufficient to pay for every sin that would keep you from communing with God, you can today, by faith in Christ alone, commune with this God and walk with this God. It's a privilege you're invited into. See, when we think about walking with God, some may say that's just reserved for really spiritual people or angels or whatever we want to throw on it. And you think walking with God is possible for some, but not possible for you. The people who walk with God, like Enoch and Noah, they're just really extraordinary people. And you may be reserved, remiss to say, I will never be able to walk with God in this way. But can I just point out something of Enoch's life? He was born post-fall. So he was born with a sinful nature and sinful disposition. He was not born in some ideal scenario. In fact, what happens in the next chapter? The world is so wicked, the one that Enoch lived in, and he was preaching about ungodliness, ungodly ways, and ungodly deeds. The world becomes so wicked. What does God do in Genesis 6? He destroys it with a flood. So he was not living in some ideal society walking with God. He didn't have all the perfect atmosphere and conveniences and circumstances to walk with God. Everything wasn't just calibrated just right for him to walk with God. No, he lived in a post-fall, pre-flood world with sin in his heart, with an evil society, and yet he still walked with God. Not only that, because people want to say, they want to hear a sermon and say like this, and say, walking with God is unrealistic for me. And they'll dismiss it. So you're talking about busy and scheduled, but I got a family, I'm busy. I can't walk with God. Walking with God is like last on my to-do list. Well, if you also notice something about Enoch's life, Enoch was a busy man. First off, He was a father. He fathered Methuselah. And then in verse 22 of Genesis 5, it says he had other sons and daughters. And guess what? He lived 365 years. That's a lot of sons and daughters to make. He had a family. He was obviously married. He had kids. He was a family man. Not only was he a family man, he was a preacher. He was a prophet. He had a ministry. So, review. Born in a sinful world with a sinful heart that God would destroy by a flood. That's how evil it was. Yet he walked with God. And not only did he walk with God, he wasn't just some guy having a bachelor life and being able to have all this margin. No, he was married, he had kids, and he had a ministry, a preaching ministry. So what's your excuse for not walking with God? You can't say I'm too weak. He was a sinner just like you. You can't say he was too busy. He had kids and family, a wife. He was a natural born sinner living in a sinful world, had a family to provide for and a ministry to keep up with, and yet he still walked with God. He lived in the same circumstances you and I have. And his life was rich and full of walking with God. Walking with God is not out of your grasp. If you are born again, isn't the Spirit of the living God dwelling inside of you? To walk with God is possible for you. Isn't it grace that strengthened Enoch? By grace through faith, Enoch walked with God for 300 years. Don't you think God can strengthen you by His grace through faith for 70? Because if you do not walk with God here, you will not walk into heaven. But how amazing is it that you can walk with God by His Spirit, in His Word, through prayer, through communion with Him, through obedience that will manifest itself in obedience to Him. We can't even walk with earthly kings. We can't even walk with earthly presidents, but we can walk with God. Fellowship with God, familiarity with God, friendship with God, the honor and privilege of everyone in Christ. And that is what distinguishes a true child of God from just some dead religious profession, walking with God. If we know nothing of walking with God, we know nothing of God. That is the test of Christianity. That is what distinguishes real Christians from the nominal. So is this you? Do you walk? Does your life walk with God? It does not matter how much you serve. It does not matter how much you attend. It does not matter what member of a church you are. It does not matter what confessions you can recite and know. It does not matter what books you have read, what quotes you can say. If you do not walk with God, none of it matters. It does not matter what rituals, what ceremonies. It doesn't matter what even zeal you have if you do not walk with God. This is the means and the ends of our life, to walk with God. It also doesn't matter what season of life you're in. You can be on the mountain or in the valley. You can be in the darkness. You can be in light. You can be in a season of triumph or despair. It doesn't matter. What matters through all of it, the highs and the lows, the good and the bad, what matters is, are you walking with God in those moments? Whatever trial, whatever difficulty, whatever victory, am I walking with God? And if I'm walking with God, when my days are done, He will take me home. What matters in your life is, are you walking with God? Walking with God is what matters. What is your life if you do not walk with God? So just let's cut through the noise and ask, do you walk with God? Do you have communion with God? Do you walk with Him? This is the pervasive principle in the life of Enoch. This is what he is known for, walking with God. And they described him as such. They wrote it in the council, the written council of God, that he walked with God. Because it manifested itself in a life of purity, righteousness, obedience. How would someone describe your life? Would they say, he walks with God? She walks with God. What's the pervasive principle of your life? Or would they say, man, she really loves clothes. He loves sports. He loves his cars. She loves her gadgets. Or would they say, he walks with God? Would they say, she walks with God? Could they say of your life, there's so much of God about him. There's so much of God about her. May we be those that walk with God. So as encouragement, our busy young families that we're full of, and I am one, a part of one of those busy young families, do not let the busyness of your days and some of these sleepless nights keep you from walking with God and actually doing what matters. Communion with God and walking with God. And I want to say it is possible for you, just like Enoch. Our elderly saints, walk with God. Time is short. Death is before you. Cross safely over the river of Jordan, the river of death, by walking with God. The next step you could take could be heaven or hell. Are you walking with God? Our young children, our young people, walking with God is not something you say, I'll do when I get older. Walk with God today. And one day you'll walk right into heaven. But for all of us, do not neglect the most important duty and privilege of our life, to walk with God. And for anyone that has realized today they are not walking with God, they're not in covenant with God, they're unbelieving. You perhaps realize today you are unbelieving. I have not walked with God. I want to tell you there's nothing that prevents you from walking with God today. You could have walked in here today not walking with Him, and you can walk out today walking with Him. Just repent. Repent of walking the course of this world and by faith, live by faith, trusting in Jesus Christ. And then you can commune with the God who sent His Son. He, Christ, will reconcile you and He will not cast you out. This is your purpose, to walk with God in this world. May we all leave here. May every single one of us leave here walking with God. Let it not be said that we've walked in not walking with God and then walking out in the same predicament. God invites all of us, afresh even, to walk with Him. Let that invitation not be in vain. Today, by faith, walk with God. And like Enoch, you'll be commended as pleasing to Him. See, because God is our reward. God is our reward. And you were made to walk with Him. And I pray your walk has already begun. Step by step, enjoying God. Step by step, communing with God. This is the way of life for us. Walk with God and know that He is yours forevermore. Enoch died at 365 years old. That's not what's spectacular about his life. What's spectacular is for those 365 years, he walked with God. That's what he did. And may it be said of us that in my numbered days, all that matters is I walk with God. By faith, Enoch pleased God. He pleased God because he walked with God. He had fellowship, communion with the living God. And that same fellowship and communion is available to you through Jesus Christ. Enoch walked with God. Do you? Thank you for listening to Sermon Audio from Grace Hill Church. Please feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without written permission.